Hello and welcome once again to CanonBlogger.com. You're listening to episode number 55. Today I'm going to talk to you about lighting. Now, in talking to you about lighting, I'm actually going to be talking about how to fire your lights from off-camera. And the reason why I'm talking about firing your flashes from off-camera is because that really is the best way to light your subjects. And this is true regardless of whether you're doing still lifes, whether you're doing portraiture work, even doing landscape work and field work and sports work and event photography. It's always best to move your flash off the same focal plane as your lenses are. So that means moving your flash off-camera. And a lot of more people are getting on board with the concept, so I figured it's something that I probably should at least address, because I'm also jumping on board with the philosophy as well. For those of you that may be interested, I have been shooting primarily with Canon gear, which means I was using the STE2, the speed light transmitter from Canon. And as I'm learning more and more about this, I'm also sharing knowledge as I learn it. So with that in mind, I'd like to thank Jim Taylor from the Colorado Strobus Group. He actually took the time to put together a lot of this information in textual form, and he threw it up on the Colorado Strobus Group, which is over on Flickr. So if you want to read this stuff, you can go to Flickr.com, go to Groups, Colorado Strobus, and you'll see a thread in there that has all these details that I'm basically regurgitating here for you. But basically what I'm going to be doing today is just kind of rattling these things off and giving you a little bit of information about each as he provided them. And basically, I'll go ahead and just jump right into it. Having said that, I do want to clarify right off the bat that I'm not talking about wired offshoot methods, because there are so many things that you can talk about with PC sync cords and plug-in types and things of that nature. Really don't want to go into that kind of granular detail at this juncture. Really, I just want to talk about the wireless methods, and there's two basic methods there. There's radio transmission method for firing flashes, and then there's the infrared method for firing flashes. And first, I'll look at the radio transmission method. Some of the basic benefits of the radio transmission method is that it's going to have a longer range than infrared, just because it can go longer distances, and it's going to have more of an ability to sense the transmitter and the receiver around corners, through walls, things of that nature, because it doesn't have to have what's called line of sight. When you're using infrared technology, you need to have that line of sight where the transmitter, the thing that's sitting on top of your camera, can actually see the receiver that is connected up to your flash. And if you don't have that line of sight and you're using infrared, your flash isn't going to fire. So that is a downside to the infrared system and a pro to the radio system of firing flashes. And as such, you're going to see a lot more out there in terms of technologies available when looking at radio frequency systems versus infrared systems. Basically, I'm just going to rattle through these things rather quickly, and I'll talk about the pros and cons of each, again, rather quickly on the various options that people have. The Mac Daddy, the big one for the radio frequency, are called the Pocket Wizards. It's in its second generation now, so it's the Pocket Wizard 2 or the Pocket Wizard Plus 2 transmitter. One of these will run you about $200, and keep in mind that's just for the transmitter. So if you wanted to pick up a transmitter and a receiver so you could actually fire your flash, you're talking about $280, $400 for a set. If you go to B&H Photo, Adorama Camera, your local camera shop, I think even Wolf Camera's selling them, you can pick them up pretty much anywhere. They're pretty much the best things out there when it comes to radio frequency methods for firing flashes. These are what the pros use. Jim mentions that in his little Flickr thread post there. This is just, you know, if the pros are using it, it's the best there is. These things just work. They also act as a trigger for your camera. They've got a very long range. Obviously, they're very expensive. But that's pretty much it. That's the one you're going to want to go with if you just want everything to work all the time. You don't want to have to fiddle at all. A step down from that is, and I'm still talking about the radio frequencies here, so a step down from that would be the Elenchrom SkyPort system. And those are also available through most vendors. I get a lot of my stuff through B&H, but you can go through B&H or Edirem or whichever vendor you prefer. They should have the Skyports. And that is the common name for them. Just call them Skyports. That's Skyports. The official name is the EL Skyport Universal Radio Slave Set. So that would be the name you might want to Google. You should probably be able to find it just with the Skyport in your search terms there. Benefit of these is they're a lot lower in price. For a set of these, you're going to spend about $180 to $200. Again, B&H Photo is going to have them for about $180. So if you want to pick up a set of these, and that would be a transmitter and a transceiver, you can get in for about $200. And they're also a lot smaller than the Pocket Wizards. The Pocket Wizards are a little larger in size, so I guess that's a downside to the Pocket Wizards. The Ellen Crumb Skyports are a lot smaller in size, and they have an equally long range. Well, probably not equal, but still a long range, and they also just happen to work as reliably as the Pocket Wizards do. I haven't actually used either of these systems, so I'm just going off what I've heard from others and what I read on the Flickr thread for the Colorado Strobus group. So, moving right along. Next in our lineup are the Alien Bees CyberSyncs. It's a very new player in the off-camera lighting school or off-camera lighting venue of gear. And they put these things out there called CyberSyncs. Alien Wizards is another name for them because they're a lot like the Pocket Wizards. They just have a different name. They're still using the radio frequency. They've got the around corners technology. Again, they're very new. They've just released. There is a lot of hype going on about these. As Jim says in his Flickr thread, there's a lot of buzz going around about them. A little pun there because it's alien bees with a buzz. From what he's heard and from what I've heard, these also seem to work very well, very reliable. About the same in size to the Ellen Crumbs, from what I understand. Maybe a little bigger, but still not quite as big as the Pocket Wizards. But one of the benefits about these, though, is they are a lot cheaper. Well, a lot cheaper. They're $130 for a set. So going down in price, you started out around $400, went down to around $200, and now you're under $150 for a transmitter and a receiver from Alien Bees. Alien Bees does a lot with lighting. I'm sure others have seen their bounce cards, their diffusers, their light boxes, all things of lighting nature. They sell a lot of lighting gear, so the fact that they're getting into the radio frequency market, transmitters and transceivers, you know they're not going to put anything out that's really halfway done. They're going to go all the way with their technology, and that's probably why there is such a buzz or a hype over it. So that is something worth considering, especially given the low cost. For $150 for a set, you really can't go wrong. You can get those directly from their website, which is at alienbees.com. That's www.alienbees.com. And there should be a link there to look at the CyberSyncs. Next up in the radio frequency family of transmitters and receivers are ones that actually I picked up, so I'm not sure if that carries any weight here. But this is a very small little transmitter receiver set that sits on top of your hot shoe flash and then attaches to your camera. And they're made by several companies. The ones that I picked up are made by Cactus, and they have 16-channel triggers and 4-channel triggers. And I ended up going with the 16-channel triggers because I just think that's going to give me more options. Another phrase you might have heard these referred to as are eBay triggers or eBay wizards. Because they utilize the same technology of radio frequency, going around corners, shooting through walls kind of thing. But they do have some downsides. Biggest downside is you have to fiddle with them a lot, and there's no guarantee they will work. They're known to work fairly well with the Vivitar flashes. I have actually, if you read my blog, I actually have a post in there about a Vivitar Auto Thrister 550 FD that I found from my old gear. Picked it up for like $3 at a garage sale a year or two ago and never got around to using it. Thank God I hung on to it though, because this should work with the radio transmitter system. So when these ones from Cactus get here, I'm going to hopefully put the old flash to use. One of the huge benefits of these is they are very cheap in price. I picked up a transmitter and two receivers for under $50 after shipping. That's right, I'll say that again. A transmitter, two receivers after shipping, under $50. They are kind of quirky from what I understand. You do have to jury rig them a little bit, fiddle play around with them, try and get the connectors to work. For $50, I'm willing to give it a try though. If they don't work, I know other people that can use them from the Colorado Strobus Group. I'll probably sell them for $25 and just call it a learning environment for me. So I will report back on whether or not I got those to work once they get in. But I did sell off the STE2 system primarily because... I'm sorry, that's the Canon system. I did sell off my old system primarily because of the limitation of line of sight that infrared has. And I'm looking forward to seeing if I can put these Cactus ones to use. I got mine from a website called Gadget Infinity. That's GadgetInfinity.com. So GadgetInfinity.com is a great place to go to find these things. Again, I got a three-piece set for under $50 after shipping, which I just think is a super good price. I did want to mention one little caveat to those, though, because they did mention a 4-trigger or a 4-channel and a 16-channel trigger set. The 4-channel set is known to work with one set of flashes from various families, including some Vivitars, some Canons, some Nikons, and then the 16-channel triggers will work on whatever the other ones don't, or vice versa. If you go over to the Colorado Strobus Group's page and look for the thread that says, "Oh my, what to use, Pocket Wizard, Skyport, CyberSync, Cactus, Radio Poppers, etc., etc., more information and details will be in there. Some of them you have to fiddle with a little bit more, but again, like I said, for the price, you almost can't go wrong to give it a whirl, especially if you're a do-it-yourselfer and you like to play around with these kinds of things. The guy that I talked to that's hopefully going to help me with this said that you sometimes have to splice some wires together, do a little soldering, so you do have to have a little bit of knowledge about electrical things like voltage and polarity and things of that nature. If you're not into that stuff and you just don't want to waste your time with that, totally understandable. My recommendation in that case would be to go with either the Elenchrom Skyports or the Alien Bees CyberSyncs. But anyway, that is just a recommendation. Last set I wanted to talk about in the radio frequency family is something called Radio Poppers. This is kind of a vaporware thing. It hasn't really been available for sale yet. The technology's been around a long time, but it's still just not made its way into the mainstream yet, primarily because it's difficult to manage and control these things. Radio Popper actually is a company and a manufacturer of things, and what they do is they combine the infrared and radio frequency technology where you can basically extend the range of your proprietary vendor gear using radio frequency, but it links in the two. So it links in the infrared and radio frequency technologies. Again, it's kind of hard to come by. It's still not gotten all the kinks worked out, but from what I understand, they have an incredible range. Just super incredible. I think Joel McNally even was doing something with David Hobby on the Strobus site where they got things to go like a quarter mile or something like that with some lighting that they played around with there. But it is out there, so I just wanted to go ahead and throw it out there. They're called Radio Poppers. That's RadioPopper. And they do have a website, so you can go to their website. It's radiopopper.com. And they do sell the infrared radio frequency combined technology. But again, you're going to start getting into price limitations. For a set of these, it's $350 to $400 for a transmitter receiver set. And that's on top of the proprietary system from either Canon, Nikon, or whatever vendor you choose. Because to my understanding, you could use these with any infrared system, whether it's Canon, Nikon, Sony, Olympus, Pentax, etc., etc., etc. But anyway, I did want to put that out there. So that's kind of a hybrid between the radio frequency and infrared set. And that kind of makes a good segue into the infrared technologies. The two main ones I'm going to talk about are from Nikon and Canon, since they are the two largest vendors. Just very briefly, if you're a Nikon shooter, you probably know about this already, but Nikon anyway has this system called the CLS system. It's a commander setup, and basically what happens is Nikon has built the technology into their camera bodies to where the flash, the on-camera flash, can actually fire remote triggers. It's just sending a signal. It looks like it's firing your flash, but really it's just sending a signal to tell the remote flashes to fire. And it's just a pretty amazing system, from what I understand from my Nikon friends that use it. It's very reliable. It's a really excellent system that they really and truly love. You don't have to use a trigger. Like I said, it's the on-camera flash, and I think it's mounted on your hot shoe. It's built into the Nikon cameras and some flashes, depending on the system you have. Some camera bodies have it. Sometimes it's in the flash. Depends on your body. Not all Nikon cameras have it, though, so that is another limitation. So don't just think you're going to go out, buy any Nikon camera, and it's going to have that technology built in. Only some of the cameras have that available. Of course, they are all SLR systems, but that kind of went without saying. Nikon flash systems, if you were to pick up two SB900s, they'd cost you about $1,100. Yeah, they're the newest flash from Nikon. I guess they really are smoking. All my friends that are into lighting that shoot Nikon say, I can't wait to get my SB900. SB900, I guess, is the next big thing for Nikon when it comes to lighting. The SB800, their previous generation, is actually still even selling for $300 at discounted rates at various stores. So if you can find the SB800s for under $3, pick a set up. That's a very good deal. Last but not least, of course, is my shooting gear. That's the Canon system. Canon has the term Speedlight associated with all their lighting gear. So if you pick up a Canon flash, it's going to be a Speedlight followed by whatever the number series it is. So you'll have a Speedlight 580, a Speedlight 550, a Speedlight 430, a Speedlight 410, etc., etc., etc. Their top-of-the-line flash, it's not the equivalent, but it's their high-end flash. That's the Speedlight 580 second generation. So it's a Speedlight 582. Those go for around $400 per flash. So if you wanted to get two flashes, that'd be $800 for two Canon 580 EXs. They're pretty powerful. I hadn't used them extensively. As most of you know, my system is with the Canon 550. A lot cheaper, and for the most part accomplishes the same thing for my purposes. So that's the system I went with primarily because I was still kind of on the cheap in getting into the lighting side of things. So I've got the 550 instead of the 580. But Canon also uses the same technology of infrared. And again, infrared, one of the limitations is that you've got to have the line of sight between the transmitter and the receiver. And the way you have a transmitter for the Canon system is you need to purchase something called an STE2. So it's a Speedlight transmitter. I don't know what the E2 stands for. But this little device mounts on the top of your hot shoe, and it's got its own battery. And again, you still have to have the line of sight, but you mount that in there, turn it on, and you can have up to four channels on that. I had the system, actually. For those of you again that read the blog, you know I shoot Canon gear, so I was going with the Canon flashes, which meant I had the Canon STE2, and I used it fairly reliably for some time, but very recently, as a matter of fact, just a couple days ago, I went and sold off the STE2. I was rather disappointed with the STE2 in terms of performance, not only in its limitation because of line of sight restrictions, but also in battery performance on my flashes. I noticed the 550 had a lot of issues in retaining a battery charge, and I think it's because the battery was using juice not only to fire the flash, but also to communicate with the STE2 to receive that infrared signal. So batteries were getting killed a lot faster, and it just really wasn't living up to the standards that I see the rest of Canon's gear holding up to. So I'm sorry, Canon, I'm going to have to abandon your Speedlight system and move towards the radio frequency. I do think the radio frequency technology is going to be the future. That's where everyone is pretty much going. I would like to see Nikon and Canon start using the radio frequency things. I don't think they will in the near term because radio frequency technology is not something that can be privately owned. Radio frequencies are out there for anyone to use if it's not being used by other devices. So the problem in going to a radio frequency system for Canon and Nikon is that if they built it into anything, someone else out there will find a way to communicate with that because they'll know what the frequencies are. It's just a matter of reverse engineering it over time.
Infrared is a little different. It's not as easy to reverse engineer, and it's also more cost prohibitive. But if you look at the Canon system or the Nikon system, each of those are running about $1,000 to $1,200, depending again on where you get your stuff from. If you wanted to move to a radio frequency set, you could spend anywhere from $380, $400 all the way down to $25 to $50, depending on how much reliability and how much of a do-it-yourselfer are. But those are the basic lighting setups. I'll go ahead and throw some links up on the blog when I post this audio podcast. So if anyone wants to go to the sites that I recommend for picking up this stuff, a lot of it's going to be B&H because I am a member of NAP, the National Association of Photoshop Professionals, and I get free shipping from that. So, free shipping from B&H as a result of my NAP membership. So if you want the B&H discount, join NAP. It's actually a very worthwhile community. There's some great forums in there. A lot of resources are available. Just a super, super group, and you get a ton of discounts. Just a ton of discounts. The B&H shipping is, free shipping is just incredible. A caveat, that is only 3-day free shipping. If you go quicker than 3-day, you're going to have to pay for the difference. But I'll go ahead and throw the links up for these. Like I said, a lot of them will be from B&H, but I'll also throw the link to Alien Bees and Gadget Infinity up there, as well as Radio Popper, for those of you that are interested in pursuing some of these other technologies. This has been just a primer. I'm not pretending to know more than I actually do. I basically read a lot of this, wrote off of the Colorado Strobus thread over on Flickr. So if you did want to read this information yourself, feel free to stop in. It's flickr.com. Go to Groups, Colorado Strobus, and then look for the thread titled, "Oh My, What to Use, Pocket Wizard, Skyport, CyberSync, Cactus, or Radio Poppers." I have chosen the Cactus route myself, and if I'm able to, or when I finish my testing, I'll come back and report the results of those if anyone is interested. As always, feel free to contact me with any questions, comments, or ideas for future audio podcast shows. I'd love to hear some feedback. The website is www.canonblogger.com, and you can always email me. The email address, as always, is jason@canonblogger.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you here next week for another edition of Tuesday Tech Talk. Thanks for tuning in. Bye. As an addendum, actually, one thing I forgot to mention is that I would be looking to establish some kind of dialogue with other photographers out there. So if you're interested in participating in a podcast with me, I would encourage you to also contact me. I've got some very easy ways where you could record your side, or we could even do things over Skype if you wanted to get involved in a podcast very cheaply, even for free, because there's a lot of open source software out there. All you would need is basically a microphone, or just downloading and installing Skype on your computer, and we could have a telephone exchange where I could record things and we can put a podcast out jointly. So if anyone's interested in participating around that venue, please feel free to contact me. Again, the address is jason@canonblogger.com. Thanks, we'll see you next week. Bye.